At the Democratic State Convention last week in Middleton, Mike McCabe got 42 votes in a Wisconsin straw poll for governor. He didn't even come to the convention, so I asked Mike McCabe to talk about where he is on the idea of running for governor, and Mike agreed. Mike, welcome back to Wisconsin Eye.
Thanks for having me.
Last time you were here, you were executive director of the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign. So summarize now. You left the Democracy Campaign. You wrote a book. You've been out trying to build what you're calling the Blue Jean Nation, at least that's the website, mm-hmm. for a whole different path in politics. So tell us about the 2-3 years since then, and are you seriously considering running for governor?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And I think it's going to happen. I think the reaction that I've gotten around the state and the people from every part of the state who are pushing me to do this, all signs are pointing in that direction. I think it'll actually happen, and I think it'll become official sometime in September.
Excuse mm-hmm. me. Will you run as a Democrat? I read your book. I interviewed you on the book.
Yeah.
But on page 39, you said belonging to a political party used to be like joining a club. Now it's more like getting caught up in a cult. Will you run as a Democrat?
You know, that's one of the things that has to get answered between now and September. I don't belong to a political party, so I come to all of this from a very different place than your typical candidate. I'm an unconventional candidate who's taken a non-traditional path to this point. And I don't belong to a political party, but when you look at the options for a candidate like me, the paths are difficult. You run as an independent, and what you do is you split the change vote and you get the status quo reelected, and then you get blamed for the continuation of the status quo.
Well, the last major third party candidate was Ed Thompson, a Libertarian, 2002, got 10.4% of the vote, mm-hmm. and there's some feeling that getting that much of the vote elected Democrat Jim Doyle.
Mm-hmm. And you spend all your time trying to explain to people why you're not a wasted vote, why you're not a spoiler candidate. And so right. I understand that. And of course, the other option is running in a party primary. What I've told the people who are pushing me to do this, and several hundred ended up signing a letter urging me to run. And it was people from every walk of life, from every part of the state, north, west, east, and south. What I've told them is that before making that decision, I'm going to listen to their wishes. I'm going to give them an opportunity to share with me how they think I should do this. I just didn't feel right about saying, yeah, I'm willing to run. I'm willing to do this if y'all are willing to do this with me, because you can't do it alone. But here's how I'm going to do it, and I'm not going to pay attention to what you think. I really feel an obligation to give them an opportunity to express their wishes on that matter. And sometime between now and September, that decision has to be made.
And you're certainly not going to run as a Republican, because here's what you said on page 15 of your book. Today's GOP seems utterly uninterested in lifting a finger to create greater economic and health and retirement security for working families. Page 17, Republicans built a rich-poor governing coalition. There's no chance you're going to run as a Republican.
Well, I don't think there's any chance that that Republican voters would kick to the curb somebody who's won 3 elections for governor. So, I that's not a very practical option, even if I wanted to explore that option. Look, I've been a critic of both parties when I've seen wrongdoing or conduct that I considered to be wrong on either side. I've called out Democrats, I've called out Republicans. That doesn't make me a favorite among the political establishment types, but there's an awful lot of people out there who are so intensely frustrated with the political system and the whole game. They're looking for a different kind of leadership. They're looking for someone who breaks the mold. I'm honored that they see those qualities in me, and I've told them I'm willing to do this if enough of you are willing to do it with me.
You seem to indicate that the only realistic way you could win would be as a Democrat, correct, Mike?
I think that, again, I feel a real obligation to hear people out on this question, but if you run outside of the major parties, that is such a difficult path. It's hard for me to see how that can result in anything accept continuation of the status quo. And that's not what people want.
Okay. There were 446 votes cast at the Wispolitics poll, straw poll, at the Democratic State Convention. You got 42, 1 in 10. You chose not to go. Why?
Well, I'm not a member of any party, and I'm not a... I wasn't.
You weren't about to pay your dues, and
join. I wasn't an announced candidate at that point. I'm certainly serious about considering this, and you know there were candidates, there likely candidates who had paid staff working the convention floor,
yes.
Who had display tables, who had hospitality suites that were actively courting support among delegates, and I was shocked that I've polled so strongly at the convention, you know, not even being there and not doing anything to try to gain support among delegates. That was a stunner to me.
But you once ran as a Democrat for a state assembly seat.
Long time ago.
Yes.
Yep.
So yep. You're older and much wiser now in terms of Wisconsin politics?
Well, certainly I've been around a long time since those days. Look, every experience I've had has helped prepare me for where I am right now. It's brought me, all those experiences have brought me to this place. And, you know, what I've told people is I am willing to do this because they're looking for something that breaks the mold. They're looking for something really different than what they've traditionally been given by the major parties. That's the thing that I find inspiring about all this, is the people who signed the letter urging me to run are not political movers and shakers. They're people who are running local businesses. They're driving taxi cabs. They're farmers. They're regular people who have typically stood on the sidelines and waited for the major parties to tell them who they can choose from. And now they're saying, we're not going to stand on the sidelines anymore. We're going to take matters into our own hands, and we're going to try to find somebody we could actually get excited about, because we don't trust that the major parties will give us anything that we can really feel great about voting for. And so, you know, they've said, we want you to do this. And I've traveled the state and talked to an awful lot of folks and finally reached the point where I said, okay, if you want this to happen and you're willing to make this journey with me, I'm willing to do it.
Part of your personal narrative, as you talk about in your book, is growing up on a Clark County farm.
Yeah.
Your family didn't have health insurance.
Correct.
You write that you never saw a dentist until age 22.
Correct.
But you also...
My teeth are still crooked.
But you also talked about Clark County, how your home county is now voting. Clark County gave Walker 61% of the votes in 2010.
Yeah.
Clark County gave 69% of the votes in the recall to keep Governor Walker. And Clark County gave 63% of its votes for President Donald Trump on November 8th.
Yeah.
To turn that book's title on its head, what's wrong, not with Kansas, but with Clark County?
You know, when I was growing up, that area was electing Democrats to represent people there. Dave Obey was the congressman for that area. Tom Harnish was the state senator. When I was a very small child, Frank Nicolay was the assembly Democratic leader and was a very progressive Democrat. And now that area is redder than Waukesha County. It is as Republican as it gets.
But it's also one of the five poorest counties in
it
the
is.
State.
It is. It's one of the five poorest counties in the state. It's an area that is struggling mightily. But Democrats really haven't competed in that area for a long time. They've written it off. And I think that's a mistake for Democrats to write off large swaths of the state. They've got to be willing to compete everywhere in Wisconsin. They've got to be willing to make people a better offer than they've been getting from the Republicans. And to me, look, a lot is made about the fact that unemployment has come down some. And it's true enough. You can go out there and find work. But for an awful lot of people, you can't find work that keeps you in the middle class. We're leading the nation in shrinkage of the middle class. We're dead last in new business startups. We're 49th in internet speed, and that is a huge issue in a place like Clark County.
Yeah.
They can't even get the internet or a mobile phone signal. Their roads are going to hell. One measure has Wisconsin's roads the fourth worst in the country. Another one has us 49th out of 50 states in the quality of our roads. And in places like Clark County, I grew up on a gravel road. Our farm was on a gravel road. for some reason, when I was a kid, I always assumed that that road would one day be paved. It's still gravel. But what's worse, some of the paved roads are being dug up and turned back into gravel because they can't maintain the pavement. And there's nobody who's said to people, we get it, we understand the struggles you have, and we're going to do something about it. They've been forgotten and ignored for a long time. And to me, supporting Donald Trump was an act of wanting to extend a middle finger to the political establishment, and he was the biggest one they could find. And I understand where they're coming from, and I understand the political evolution they've gone through. But for crying out loud, they just want somebody who says, we understand your struggles and the challenges you face, and we're going to address this. We're going to act like you matter to us, because they feel like they've been just written off, and they have been.
When you led the Democracy Campaign, and in your book, you have talked about the dangers of the huge amounts of money.
Yeah.
So my question is, how do you raise money? What's your approach on campaign finance? Because on page 23 of your book, you say, today's legal bribes aren't called bribes. Now they're called campaign contributions. Mm-hmm. What rules would you put on raising money?
This campaign would have to be people-powered and crowdfunded. It would have to be a lot of small donations from a lot of people. I wouldn't. If you're running for governor, you can legally take an $86,000 check from a political action committee, and you can take legally a $20,000 check from an individual. If I took contributions like that, every self-respecting journalist in the state would call me out as a hypocrite, because I've spent—
And they'd be right.
And they would be right, because I've spent decades saying that those kinds of massive donations are effectively legal bribes.
Yep.
And so I can't run a campaign that would turn me into a hypocrite. This campaign would have to be fueled by very small contributions from a lot of people and a lot of people power.
Okay, and then you would then make a big issue of the Governor Walker if he raised and spent $35 to $40 million to try to win a third term.
It would be a pretty stark contrast between that sort of an approach and the approach that I would take. Because, look, those sorts of massive donations are effectively legal bribes, and people get that. They understand that what all that money does is produces a government that works for a privileged few and ignores the wishes of the rest of the population. That's the problem we've got. And it ends up producing an economy that benefits a few at everyone else's expense and leaves an awful lot of people behind. That's got to change.
Chapter 16 in your book is captioned Millennials to the Rescue. Why do you think you could appeal to the millennials, Mike?
Well, for starters, we have got to create a path to the American dream for young people. And it starts with saying we have to make a commitment as a state to make education and job training as affordable for our kids and grandkids as it was for their parents and grandparents. When I went to school, it was so remarkably inexpensive that I could get out of school having worked my own way through college basically debt-free. And today, you know, the average student's coming out with close to $30,000 in debt. I've run into young people who have $80,000, $90,000, over $100,000 in debt. How are they going to dig out from under that mountain of debt that they've been buried under? We have to make a commitment as a state to make education as affordable for future generations as past generations made it for people like us at our age.
You say in September you hope to make a decision, and it might be likely, number one, that you're going to run. Number two, you may run as a Democrat. How are you more qualified than Kathleen Vinehout, John Erpenbach, Andy Gronick, Matt Flynn, even now Paul Soglin?
If people want a candidate who's climbed the ladder and held a bunch of offices, who has spent their entire life running for or holding office, they're going to have a lot of people to choose from, and I won't be their candidate. I come from a very different background. I've done work that involved fighting the influence of money in politics and trying to root corruption out of our government. I've been around the Capitol as a public interest advocate, as an activist for political change for a long time, but I haven't climbed that traditional ladder. And so if people want somebody who looks and sounds and acts like all the other politicians out there, they're going to have plenty of people to choose from, but I won't be their choice. But if people are looking to break that mold and they want a different kind of leadership and they want somebody who has some real fire and passion about getting regular people into the driver's seat of our government, that's what I've committed my life to. That's what I've spent decades doing. And if they want somebody who swears allegiance to a particular party and won't challenge anything done by that party, then I probably don't fit the bill either, because I've spent decades calling out Democrats and Republicans when I've seen wrongdoing or unethical conduct. And that's what I have to offer people, is somebody who knows how government works, but has worked as a public interest advocate trying to get citizens' voices heard in a system that does cater to people who supply massive amounts of money and tends to work for a few at everybody else's expense.
Okay, we're almost out of time, but I have two final questions.
Yeah.
Lay out a scenario under which you're raising your hand in January of 2019 as the next governor of Wisconsin. Connect those dots for me.
If people respond at the state level to a candidacy like this, the way they responded in Wisconsin to Bernie Sanders' candidacy, he won 71 out of 72 counties in Wisconsin. He started 50 points down in the polls. He was given no chance of winning by all the pundits and the political experts. And yet he ended up winning 71 out of 72 counties in Wisconsin because he had a message and represented something that people were hungry for, that they are absolutely yearning for. And if that can be, if that kind of thing can be replicated at the state level in an election for governor, people deserve to be given an option like that on the ballot.
And then the final question, if you're elected governor, your first budget, is it going to take from the Bernie Sanders platform free tuition? Is it going to take universal health care system? Tell me the three main points of your first budget if you're governor.
We've got to move toward affordable debt-free education. We've got to move toward making health care available to everybody. So we've got to move in that direction. And we've got to make Badger Care, for example, we got to open that up to the entire population. We've got to make Badger Care something that's there for every Badger. And we've got to boost wages. We've got to substantially increase the minimum wage and then adjust it for inflation every year so that earnings keep up with the cost of living. Those are the kinds of things that have to be happening to make working people capable of succeeding.
And then a very quick follow-up. How would a Governor McCabe pay for the state's transportation future, a major gridlock issue in the Capitol?
I think, first of all, we've got to think about reprioritizing the way we spend money for transportation. It's been biased toward new construction, and we are neglecting to maintain what we've already got. So we've got to think about fixing what we already have before we do a whole bunch of more new construction. But then you've got to honestly pay for decent roads. And I would work with the legislature to pay for it as we go. The thing I would really resist is just putting this spending on a credit card. That has been sinful. We have done so much spending, but we've borrowed money and mortgaged our future to pay for it. So we're putting all this spending on a credit card and sending the bill to future generations, and that is dead wrong. We've got to pay as we go.
Time to raise the gas tax, time to raise the vehicle registration fee and tolling. That's your... We're almost out of time, so
obviously you can't do it alone as governor, but you got to sit down with legislators and say, okay, of those options, what are you comfortable doing? Because what's not acceptable is to have the fourth worst roads in the country. And what's not acceptable is to borrow and put on a credit card this kind of spending and saddle future generations with that debt. So here are the options. What are you all willing to support? And I'll be there with you.
You'll be there if that raised the gas tax, the registration fee, and laid the groundwork for tolling.
I'd be there because, you know, what is sinful is the way we're doing it. We're neglecting our roads, and then to the extent that we're paying for roads, we're putting it on a credit card. Those two options are unacceptable. To me, all the other options should remain on the table.
Okay. Mike McKay, potential candidate for governor. Your goal is an announcement in September?
I think that's when it's going to happen.
Mike, thanks for joining Wisconsin Eye.
Thanks.